So this week, we're going to make a shift, but it's really going to be from that same foundation that we're going to move from. Jesus was able to be willing and obedient because he knew the Father's love. And that love is going to play a key role today as we begin to talk about living a life free of offense. Now, I put in my notes a C/S, and I just want to mention to you, you're going to see me spell offense with a C some, but you're going to see a lot of the scriptures use an S. And so, same word, same implication, just two different ways of doing it, and depending on your Bible, will depend on whether you see it with an S or a C. And I want you to remember now, again today, we're learning as we walk in His footprints, as we take steps just as He did, motivated to take those steps just like He did. So we're going to follow in them today. Let's start by going to Mark, the 15th chapter, and we're going to read the 34th verse because we are learning from Jesus. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." And what he was saying was, which is translated, it reads, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, there's a couple of questions that I really want to ask you. Do you believe Jesus really felt forsaken? That's important that we understand that he has feelings as a man, just like we did. How do you feel when someone forsakes you, when a close friend walks away? Hurt? Mad? Angry? Does it offend you? Because these are all the things that I believe Jesus was feeling on the cross. He was perceiving these. And then that leads me to the question, do you believe Jesus was truly tempted to be offended as he felt that way? And I'll remind you before you answer, and of course I can't hear you anyway, but I can see yeses and I can see some people thinking about it, that he was tempted, the scripture says, in every way that we are today. So I would say yes, he was tempted to be offended, but I would also say it this way. He did not take possession of that offense. In other words, he refused, even though it was coming on him hard, to be offended that he felt forsaken by his Father. Now, how do I know this? Well, I know Jesus didn't sin, and that'll become clearer in a moment why that's the case. But in Luke 23:46, what did he say? "Father, into your hands do I commit my spirit." He committed to the Father everything that he could at that point because he was totally dependent on the Father to do what? To raise him up, not only in this life, but out of the pit of hell. And so we know by this that Jesus didn't get offended because when we get offended, we don't act that way. There was no bitterness in his part. There was no anger, yet all these emotions are dwelling in him, but he didn't take them. And I want to use this phrase. There was nothing leading to a sin being committed. And that's important, and you're going to understand why very shortly. And it's all because what? He was rooted and grounded in the Father's love. So what do we learn from this? Well, I think we learn a couple of key things. If Jesus was tempted to be offended, we will be tempted to be offended as well. And if Jesus could resist that temptation and not take it, then we too can walk in his footsteps and not take offense and all the consequences that it brings to us. So let's look closely at this concept of offense. And today I'm going to look mostly at taking offense or not taking offense versus being the one who causes offense. And I'll just say, both of them are equally undesirable. We don't want to be doing it, but we don't have time today to do both. Let me give you a definition. And this is from Merriam-Webster today. Offense means to trip up, to cause pain or hurt, to cause anger or vexation. And then it has one that I think is really interesting that they would include it, but it's really true. To entice to apostasy. Well, what is that really talking about? Well, apostasy is when we begin to doubt and no longer believe. Now, some of these you can say, yeah, I understand. But this one you ought to say, whoa, that's not a place I want to be. And then finally, Webster's Dictionary today says to transgress or sin. That is a definition of being offended. But what do we see with Jesus? We don't have to let it inside us. These temptations can come, but we don't have to give into it. The Greek word, I think, is very important for us to look at also. It's the word skandalazo, and it literally means to scandalize. It's from a word which means to entrap, to trip up, and here's that phrase again, or to entice to sin. Now, it's critical with this that we note that an offense can lead to much, much more than just getting your feelings hurt or getting a little mad at somebody. Offense manifested in you is a tool of the devil intended to separate you and negate your faith from the word that produced the faith. And you're going to see this over and over. In fact, I'm going to just fold my page when I get through with this page of notes and put it in front of me so I can refer back to these definitions. It's a trap of the devil. And sadly for us here in America, we are so easily offended at what anybody does from the president on down. It's like it's an epidemic in our society. Anything offends people and anyone. Yet as believers, we need to be what? Above that fray, not letting it come in us, being just like Jesus did as we walk in his footsteps. So if our target is Jesus, let's see what the word, which he is the word, says. And we're going to look at Paul. So head to Acts 24, verse 16 with me. Now this is Paul, not Jesus that we're going to look at, but Paul said, look to me as an example, because he tells us in another verse that he looks and models his life after the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to read this from the New King James. Now, Paul is talking to Felix in this chapter near the end of Acts about his ministry. And he makes this statement, this being so, he's talking about some of the things he was facing in that ministry. He made this statement, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. Now, my New American Standard says, I also do my best to maintain a blameless conscience, both before God and before men. Now, let's look, same word, obviously, just translated. Blameless conscience. What does that mean to you? Well, first of all, it means one that I haven't done something where I begin to condemn myself. Now, the reason I wanted to use this verse is because I believe the conscience, our conscience, is the link between our spirit man and our soul. And when that thing gets clogged up, then it's hard for the leadings of the Holy Spirit and His words to be rising up in us. That's what condemnation does. Again, an attempt to separate us from God and His instructions. Proverbs 19:11, and I'm going to use the Complete Jewish Bible. I'll leave this one in your notes. I've left it in your notes, actually. People with good sense are slow to anger. I like that. That's just about as plain as you can say it. So it's good sense to be slow to anger. And it is His glory to overlook a transgression, to overlook an offense. So it's good sense to restrain our anger. So we begin to see a relationship between that anger being restrained and what? And it being glory to overlook an offense. The Amplified says it this way. Good sense makes, and I like the word better, compels. If I had been amplifying it, that's probably what I would say. Good sense compels us to restrain our anger. And it is our glory the attribute of God, all that he is, all his characteristics, it's our glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. Now, you can see and you can think about times readily where men have offended you. And what did Paul say? Both God and men. Well, the man part we understand, but God offending us? We need to expand our vision, because you're going to see in the scriptures today that people were offended certainly by Jesus and also by the Word of God. So let's begin to talk about some of this now and look at it. In Mark 4, verse 16 and 17, Mark 4, 16 and 17, Jesus is giving the parable of the sower. And he says this, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word and immediately receive it with gladness." 17 says, "And having no root in themselves, and so endure for a time," and here's the but coming, "afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended." Complete Jewish says they immediately fall away. Now you're going to see that term used over and over again concerning that same word, scandalazo. It's that same concept. The New King James says immediately they stumble. Now, if you remember Romans 9:33, I think it's the last verse in the chapter, talks about the Word and Jesus being a stumbling block and a rock of offense. So we just see here where clearly the Word and the Lord Himself, if we don't understand what we need to, we can get offended by the Word and the one who spoke it. How about I say it that way? Now, I want to give you one other verse just to reinforce this concept of walking free of offense. And it's Colossians 3:12. And you've got this verse on your notes, so look at it. Don't look it up in your Bible right now. I want you to concentrate on what it's saying. "You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing loving kindness for all. Be gentle and humble." And look at the way this verse concludes. "Unoffendable in your patience with others." This is so important. I have a friend who was sharing with me about this verse, that this is a verse the Lord gave to them to really meditate on and be their standard for an extended period of time. And what it's telling us is that we can live unoffendable, and I'm going to say both by men, and I'm going to say also by God. Now, patience here with not taking offense ought not surprise you, because what does Scripture say? It's by faith and patience that we what? Inherit the promises. So I want you to begin to see a link between this patience and being unoffended. Now, I hope this also brings to mind some of the words in the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, that I gave you to be speaking over yourself. If you look back through that, when we're finished, you're going to see a lot of these same concepts coming up, although the word offense is not directly used. So let's look at a few examples of people who were offended and what happened and what Jesus said about it. And we're going to start in Mark, the 6th chapter, the 3rd verse. And this is the account that we read 2 and 3 weeks ago in both of the in the sessions on honor. And so I'm just going to read this one verse. You know what's happened. Jesus has come back into his hometown. He's teaching. They're saying, my goodness, he teaches with authority, and we've heard about all the miracles. And then all of a sudden in verse 3, look what it says. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they what? Took offense at him. They took it. You see that phrase? I really like the way New American Standard says it in this. They took offense. Now we know they treated him as common and ordinary, and the result of that was that they lost because he could do no mighty miracles. But I want you to see, it started out with what? Them being offended, and then it influenced their actions, and it impacted what Jesus wanted to do but could not do. Let's look at another one. Go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16, and I want to start with verse 21. Now, in Matthew 16, Peter had just gotten a revelation of who Jesus was, and Jesus came back and said, upon that revelation, Peter, I'm going to build my church. And look at 21. From that time, Jesus began to show, so a change has come about. He hadn't been doing this. He began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Now, I want you to see, so I'm going to warn you about this. I want you to be conscious of what Peter, in these next verses, is focused on, because you and I make the same mistake. There is good news in this verse, but all Peter focuses on is everything except the last phrase. You remember, look at the last phrase, and I'm going to be raised up on the third day. We must see things from heaven's perspective, and I'll probably say that again. When we do that, then it will keep us from being offended most of the time. Then verse 22, Peter takes him aside and he begins to rebuke him. That's just inconceivable to me. And look at what he says to Peter, what Peter says to him. God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now what Peter's saying is, Jesus, you don't deserve this. This can't happen to you. You look who you are. It's not going to happen. And what does Jesus tell him? He turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Now, he's not calling him a devil. He's just saying this is where you're listening to and being influenced from. And then what does he say? Depending on your translation, it says, you are an offense to me, or you're a stumbling block to me, which is what New American Standard says. For you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but mine. Things set on spirit is what? Life. But if we set on the flesh, it's death. And what Jesus is saying here is, I can't afford for you, because of I know what's coming, to start trying to get me to have a pity party for myself. Because that's going to lead to what? Being and taking offense. And he said, I'm not going to do it. So again, he didn't take offense at Peter because of what Peter was saying to him. He resisted this, and he explained to Peter why he's done so. Now go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And in Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus is talking, and the reason I'm including this verse is it goes specifically into some things that Jesus is saying about offense. He says, if your right eye makes you stumble, if it offends you, tear it out and throw it from you. And then he goes on and he tells you why. Because what does he say? He doesn't want it to offend part of your body and then that corrupt the whole body. And because he talks about that part being thrown into hell. And then he makes the same analogy in verse 30 about your hand. Now why is he saying this? Because he wants us to see that causing offense and taking offense is a very, very serious matter because of where it leads to. You may not see it at the first, but it leads to some very serious things. And so the rest of this session, I want to focus on two accounts. The first one is relatively short, but the second one is lengthy. And we're going to go through and look at two accounts where people displayed that they were offended and see the impact that it had. So go with me to Matthew 11. And in Matthew, the 11th chapter, we're going to start in the second verse. And this is concerning John the Baptist. As we start this now, reflect on all that John had done in being the forerunner and announcing Jesus and who he was and what he had come for. So verse 2 starts and it says, "Now when John in prison heard of the works in Christ, he sent word by his disciples." Now we'll talk about what he said in a moment, but stop here. Here's John. He's announced Jesus, he's baptized, he's talked about repentance, and he's now in jail because of some criticism he made about a lifestyle of those in charge. Herod. And I want you to think about John. Here he is, and what's he thinking? Do you reckon he had thoughts of, "This isn't the way I thought things were going to turn out. I thought I might play an important role in his kingdom. Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve it?" Now those words, if you've listened to the teachings that I talked about here recently about that we did at High Point in Healing School on the last three Thursdays, then those words should resonate because those are the kind of words that what lead to doubt. So what do you see? You think he's shocked, he's hurting, he's doubting. Might he be offended at what is going on with Jesus? Or even the word that he'd been given to speak. So we continue. And what he asked his disciples to say to Jesus is, "Are you the expected one or the coming one? Or should we look to someone else?" Do you see how reacting to his situation, not understanding what was going on, instead of seeking the Lord, what did he do? He became offended, and it led to a doubt in his mind as to what was really happening. And Jesus answered him and said to them, "Go and report what you both hear and what you see." So Jesus is going to send the people back to him and talk to him about what is going on. But this is key. Look at how Jesus responds to him. He doesn't go and just tell them this is what to say to them. He goes and says, "You speak this," and what he's telling them is the word of God. It's in Isaiah 61. It's in Luke 4. And here's what he says. "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Why would Jesus speak the word to them? Because that's what brings faith. What he is doing is trying to get John the Baptist, his cousin, to look away from his situation and look back to what? The word of God. Now, what are we doing when we change what we're looking at, change what we're thinking about, and turn and go another way? He's repenting. That's what Jesus gives John this opportunity to do. And look what he says in verse 6, and this is why I know that John was offended. "Blessed is he who is not offended or who keeps from stumbling over me." So do you see how far John the Baptist had fallen to a point where he really was doubting who Jesus was? And he had proclaimed him to so many people. So we have a very important concept that's disclosed to us. That, let me just read you the verse 6. "Blessed is he." Now, notice that. "Blessed is he. Whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now, just think about that a minute. If we're blessed when we're not offended, then if we're offended, might offense be a blessing blocker? Is the converse of that situation? Amplified says this, blessed, and Amplified always use these words to talk about blessed. Happy, fortunate, and to be envied is he who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth. And what did we say in our definition? That part of it was it to cause us to come to apostasy, which is what? To no longer believing what we have known was true. So really and truly, what does it mean when something happens that we don't understand? Well, you may not like this answer, but it just means that something happened that we don't understand. That we just don't know something. And that's why you're going to see in our next example, there are some steps that we can go through when we begin to see that will keep us from progressing to a point where we take offense. Now, it's important to note for me that three chapters later, John the Baptist is executed. And it makes me wonder, in the time between the asking Jesus and hearing his report back and his death, did he get himself turned back? I believe he did. Because if he really listened to the word that Jesus spoke, then he would have turned his attention back to that. And the love of the Father would have brought him right back in right relationship with him. The other interesting part about that is when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been executed, did that offend him? Well, he went aside to be by himself, to gather himself. But what happened? In that chapter, it says that multitudes came to him. And what did he do? He healed them all. He healed and healed and healed. So we see Jesus wasn't offended. He just took what the devil intended for bad and said, back in your face, back at you. And that's the same thing we do. Now I want to go to Peter. And you're probably not surprised that we're going to him.